Bards FM podcast. My name is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to A Conversation with Monkey Works.
This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Good evening, patriots. Well, I tell you, sorry for the late run tonight, but that edit was crazy, and I'll explain that in just a minute. First of all, let's remember Bards Fest is the 26th to the 29th of August. There are tickets getting ready to go on sale. You will get a heads up. Don't worry, it's going to be happening soon. We've been finalizing those details today. Within the next few days, be ready and get ready to buckle up and get ready to explode the world with the greatest festival and revival in human history. We're also going to be celebrating America's greatest patriot and CEO. That's Mike Lindell and his great company, MyPillow. So get on over there to MyPillow and give them some love and some support, since the cancel culture left has taken away $65 million in sales. We're going to bring it all back, and we're going to get a million patriots in my slippers. So you got to get over there. You go to MyPillow.com. Use the Bards promo code, B-A-R-D-S. That's Bards for the promo code, B-A-R-D-S. And you get over there and just check out all the great savings and all the great products. You've got pillows, comforters, doggy beds, sheets. Man, I'm telling you, it goes on and on. And, of course, my slippers for the slipper revolution that we're celebrating on the 27th of August. You can also call an 800 number, 800-975-2939. 800-975-2939. Talk to a real person. Tell them the same thing. Give them the Bards promo code, but then make sure and tell them where you heard about it. It's on the best podcast on the entire web, Bards FM. And we love Mike Lindell. So let's make it rain. And just so I highlighted patriots, this is the greatest company. They have already contributed $40,000 to Bards Fest. So let's give them some love. Keep cranking it over there. Use the Bards promo code B-A-R-D-S at MyPillow.com. They've got great savings. They've even got savings on some of their mattresses now. So it's a lot of great stuff going on. Check it all out. And that's a place to be. All right, patriots. So tonight we've got an interview, which I know a lot of people have been waiting for. It's the interview with Monkey Works. He's a good friend. It's been a long time since he and I've had a conversation, as we've each been building up a great channels and great followings with great patriots. This interview took me a little bit longer, and hopefully it's a pretty smooth transition. Somewhere around 22 minutes, we completely lost our connection, and we had to go back. It was crazy. I mean, every time he mentioned God, every time he mentioned Jesus, every time he mentioned Revelation, the entire line broke up. Of course, I'm sure that's just accidental. I'm sure that there's nothing. I'm sure there's nothing at all about that at all, like AIs or something that censored words, you know. So anyway, we had to adapt like good digital soldiers do, and we did a roundabout, and I had him call in direct and had him record directly to my mixing board. So I think it turned out good. It took me a little bit longer to prep it, so I apologize. But I think you're going to enjoy this 47-minute interview with one of our favorites on the web, Monkey Works. When you get through hearing tonight, make sure and spin over to his channel, drop him some love, say hello. He's a great guy, and he's really fighting like everybody else out here, and one of the few out here that continues as well to push prayer on his channel. So wonderful man. So here we go, patriots. Without further ado, I know you've been waiting for this. Let's get into the interview with Monkey Works. Patriots, I'm really excited today. We have a very special guest, and it is Monkey of Monkey Works. You all know who he is. This is the one man out here that is probably can put sense to the crazy that we're dealing with. He's got data, and he's got Christ in his heart. You can't get a better mix. So it's been a while since Monkey and I've talked. We've had a chance to catch up, and there's going to be a lot to talk about today. So Monkey, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, brother. I appreciate you having me on, man. It's been too long. So it's good to hear your voice, and good to be on your show, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, Monkey, there's been a lot go on. And when you and I were first doing a couple shows together almost a year and a half ago. We were really focused on a few critical points, Club K and other things. But this, talk about what you've been doing since then, kind of catch everybody up to pace and where you are and what's going on now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, I actually changed directions a little bit because what was going on, we had the election unfold and how that thing shook loose. And so, I was tracking aircraft and that was kind of my primary focus. And during that time, I was going to seminary school with the plan to get into ministry. And so when the election ended and things kind of, the dust settled, I started thinking about what in the world am I going to do? I'm sitting here tracking planes and maybe that's no longer relevant. And so I just started praying hard about it. And then it just came to me, it's like God said, hey, if your fight just ended, then you were fighting the wrong fight. And so that just lit a fire in my belly. And since then, I've just kind of put more of a focus on just the ministry side of it, So I've got the Watchman Hour that I do every 2 weeks, which is more of a Bible study type of podcast where we delve into the Word. We look at certain areas, like, for example, we'll look at Passover, or we'll look at the Third Temple, or just different aspects of the Bible. And then, of course, I still do my Monkey Minute, which is basically ties in the Bible with the news, like what's going on in the world. And then I've just started another platform where I'm actually going to start doing more interviews and into things like it's called the Monkey Mission. And so I'm actually going out and talking to small ministries and things along that line to where I can actually help them kind of launch their podcast or their information so people can get eyes on other people that are out there doing God's work like you and I. And so that's what I've been doing. That's my main, main thing, keeping me busy, very busy.
It's great work, brother. It's fantastic. Let's dig into a couple things here, and let's go to kind of that plain thing everybody does know you for, and we'll come back to plenty of God on this show. Tell me what you're looking at here, because we have actually no relevance of data that's accurate right now. And if there's anything that I think that can put some tangible framework on this, it's the travel of aircraft like you do so well, and trying to put the pictures, and we take something like picture together. So you say something like Real Raw News, it's telling us like a supposedly a real-time event at Gitmo. We get a report from Sidney Powell that says nothing's going on in Gitmo. I've seen some of your shows that are showing a pretty low level of traffic at Gitmo, yet we rolled back a year or 2 years ago and the traffic was literally off the charts in Gitmo. What are you seeing and how are you putting this all together?
Well, that's a good point. So when you talk about the Real Raw News, there's so much bad data out there. That's the thing that's kind of it's disheartening for Patriots because, we're clinging on to this hope that somebody at some level of justice is taking place in this state or in this country, right? And so what I've found is, and as of lately, the biggest thing is that there is a significant uptick in traffic right now to the spa. It's higher a level than I've seen in 2.5 years. They are, a couple flights a day going in and out of there that are the small little aircraft that we've been watching for, and what I call out of tempo or out of sequence. And so I think, and here's what I've been able to put together, I don't think it's the people that we really want it to be, which is politicians and people that have been, traitors to this country. I think what we're seeing, the people that are getting arrested are tied to human trafficking. And the reason I say that is because I watch surveillance aircraft that are flying around. Then I'll see, for example, North Carolina, we had 7 Google balloons all over the state of North Carolina the exact same day flying, and then they all disappeared. And then about 4 days later, we saw information that had to do with 105 children rescued in North Carolina. And then after that, I started seeing an uptick in aircraft coming into the spa. And so what I found is that there's a correlation between, the DOJ making announcements about arrests on human trafficking and, aircraft going in and out of the spa. So that is what I think is what we're seeing. And so right now it is crazier than I've seen it in 2.5 years. There's aircraft going every day, multiple times a day in some cases. So it's nuts.
and it's hard for people to keep track of it. I know you and I look at this almost constantly all day long in our different optics on this. You've been looking at this hard data and have a really deep history on this traffic, so it's probably easier for you to put some of this in context. And I'm sure that on your channel, people are always hungry or even digging for that right answer, that opportunity to say there's hope, everything's going to be okay. What's your message on that these days?
I don't lose faith. My message is don't focus on the man, focus on God. And that's really what the message ought to be for all of us, is that if you're putting all of your cards, you know, or all your money on one guy, you're going to be disappointed every time. And so, you know, there's not one guy out there that's going to change any of this except for God or Jesus, and that's it. And so I think if people just stay focused on what's real, you'll never be disappointed. So that's my message.
The thing that we have to deal with in this time is this level of deception. And one of the things that I talk about, and I'd just love to get your take on it, and we're dealing with some pretty heavy-duty deceptions. We're dealing with, obviously, the deception on this entire pandemic, the deception on this vax. We're dealing with deceptions on who's actually in power, what I refer to as Joe Biden, the hand puppet and the Muppet show that goes along with it. When we get into all this, it's really hard to trust anything. And what I've also said is that no matter who is in power, no matter what the event is, that there has to be truth and accountability in that process in the end. So what's your thought on this? I mean, we both come from at least a common background in soft. We understand how a lot of these operations have to work. But what's your thought on that principle of bringing truth to the surface?
Oh, it has to be. There's only one way. Truth is the only way to get through any of this. If you're not always going to get the story that you want to hear, right? And it's because people have just become accustomed to there are news outlets out there. You've seen it. You've mentioned one. You know, for example, Real Raw News, where they pump out a story, and you know, and you have to go look down at the small claims or whatever at the bottom. It says that this site is basically, it's there for fun. It's not, not to be taken seriously. And so, you know, that is the kind of thing that we are, unfortunately, that's the environment we're in. And there's a lot of folks out there that are basing all of their content off of bad data. And I think, honestly, if you're not going out with the truth, regardless whether or not it's pleasant to the ears, that's the difference, I think, that's going to set us all apart, is folks that are like myself. I people may not want to hear what I have to say, but I'm going to tell you the truth. And whether you like it or not, I'd rather you get mad at me and think, all right, well, hey, listen, you know, at least he was honest with me, than to have somebody that comes out there and just blows smoke all day, every day, right?
I agree. You know, if there's one person that I've said it in one of my shows, but I will say it openly, that has tracked this in terms of the book of Revelation, and I think has this a really good handle on that, it's you. And I give that as a big compliment. Walk us through some of that, Monkey, and what you're seeing in this terms of the times and that we're in, and how you're seeing that through that book of Revelation and all the events lining up.
Oh yeah. No. Yeah, that's definitely my swim lane, man. I love it. Here's the crazy thing, is you can go and look at almost like reading the headlines today and open up your book, the book of Revelation, and almost verbatim see the things taking place right before our very eyes. And so we are definitely in an environment where the things that are written are starting to take shape. And when I say that, you can look at, for example, the Third Temple. There's so much talk around it. We saw it when Trump was there, the comparison of where they were saying Trump is like the modern day Cyrus, right? And so, and Cyrus was and played an intricate role in the Bible in terms of standing up the Second Temple. And so that's the kind of things that are kind of, there's no fuzz on them, right? And so the Third Temple is one that we're seeing take place. We're looking at the Gog-Magog War, which is Ezekiel 38, where you're starting to see these alliances take shape that have to do with, Turkey, Iran, and Russia. And that plays right into the arms of Armageddon. That's straight out of the book of Revelation. And so it is all pointing to that direction, and it's going in breakneck speed. And so there's not just the elements of people and nations that we're seeing lawlessness on the increase. We're seeing earthquakes that are now starting to, you know, there's, I want to say it's up by 400% around the world, which is, it just keeps going up. It's almost like they said, the birth pains, right? And then the volcanic activity, which is off the chain. You've got 45 active volcanoes at any given time right now around the world, which is unprecedented. It's never been to that level. And so there are a lot of those things. And of course, that'd be Matthew 24. But it, like I said, it all dovetails into what we're seeing in the book of Revelation. You've got locusts devouring crops. You've got droughts that are coming in that are unprecedented levels of droughts, which is going to cause crop failures and famine. And that's all straight out of the book of Revelation.
We are also dealing right now with one of the most unprecedented threats, which is this injection, what they're calling a vaccination. This spins off of this pandemic and all that they're trying to do. And I mean, I've spent a lot of time on this. I've been working very closely with a lot of the five doctors team that has been looking at this. This is straight out of some sort of Luciferian soup, as far as I'm concerned. What's your thought on that, Monkey?
No, you're absolutely right. And here's the thing about that is, if you look at the mark of the beast and you look at the technologies that are coming into play, and the fact that when this vaccine started getting pushed out, and how they're starting to leverage people to say, well, you can't work at this location if you don't get vaccinated. You can't travel if you don't get vaccinated. You're not allowed in our store if you don't get vaccinated. That's all slippery slope. Now, it's definitely not the mark of the beast, but it is just one more step in the cog of making all of that a reality, because all the other technology is starting to roll up together to where whenever somebody decides to show up and flip the switch, it's going to get implemented pretty quickly. And so, yeah, I would agree with you. That's slippery slope stuff. And I think this thing that scares me the most about this is the fact that there's very little pushback. People are just being sheep. They don't want to buck the system. They're just basically, you know, I passed a guy the other day on a motorcycle wearing a mask. And it was in open air by himself on a motorcycle in the state of Texas, wearing a mask. And you got people driving along in their cars by themselves wearing a mask. And it's because they've just been indoctrinated into this thing of you know, not pushing. They put fear in their hearts so that they don't want to push back, and they just go with the flow.
Man, that is the truth. And it's like you said, it is slippery slope. The part I think that people have a hard time with, and you and I have another common background, is we've been exposed to a lot of the dark technologies of the dark arts. I think people have a hard time believing that this technology is actually real and not something out of James Bond.
Oh yeah, it's very real. As you know, I've worked many years on DARPA programs. And so if you go back and look at how DARPA set up, and the fact that it came online around the same time as NASA did, and it was all part of that Operation Paperclip, where they brought in all of the Nazi scientists into the U.S. Well, there was a whole segment of them that went into the DARPA side. And those guys have been doing things that are always, you know, black programs where you don't really have eyes on them. But you can look at everything from their social surveillance aspect, and all the tool set that's in play, and how they have the ability to track everything you do. And it's crazy. I mean, the things that we didn't think existed are now starting to come to surface. They're making movies about them, like MK Ultra. They're doing things about mass surveillance and how they are pushing thought into people, you know, through the smart objects in your hand or in your house. It's insane. So yeah, there's definitely a lot to that, and it's and we're all being manipulated by it for sure.
So when we get into this sort of warfare, and we're it is such an overwhelming architecture in its own sense. I mean, I think that we can agree that probably this one line through this is our love of Christ and that faith in God. Where are you seeing that, Monkey, in the middle of this fight? Because when we come from even our own communities that we work with, I'm surprised and pleased to see how many are stepping into that place and realizing that it's less about door kicking now and a lot more about something greater than all of us.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Now you want to talk? Yeah, you're talking spiritual warfare for sure, and that's very real. And in fact, you know, that's sort of the spirit, man. God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And I believe, you know, where you and I, you know, early on, we were focusing in on the prayer aspect of this because it's so powerful. And, you know, we've had National Days of Prayer. We've, you know, done a lot of things where we've tried to bring that to the forefront where people realize that, hey, the stuff that's going on around us is not necessarily seen. And that prayer is a real, it's a real tool to battle against this. If you don't have prayer in your life, you've got no shot at all at any of this. And so the other side is definitely using it against us. I don't know about you, but man, I get people that send things to me. I get voodoo curses and, all kinds of ways, just crazy stuff, coming my way. I don't know if you get that at all, but it's pretty real. And the other side definitely is using it.
Well, that's funny you said that. No, unfortunately, I don't get too much of the crazy. Looks like you became the crazy magnet. So that's all right. But you know what is interesting though, is I've said it on my channel, and I think this is a hard pill for people to swallow, but when you look at the Luciferian side and when you look at how dedicated they are to their minuscule God, I challenge people that are following Christ to be that dedicated, because frankly, I don't have any respect for what they're doing, but I will tell you this, they from birth to death stay dedicated to the worship, and they don't play games with what they do. Their whole thing is about destroying God's children.
Oh yeah, 100%. They're coming after you and I and anybody else that has Christ in their life. That is a given, and they're relentless. And if you're not relentless, that's one of the things that I've been really focusing in on, is trying to get people to understand how to pray offensively instead of defensively, because God didn't put us out there with the intention of staying in your little safe space and just praying for his protection. He put us out there and gave you his word and said, go after it. And so that is the primary difference, is the fact that we've got to start getting people to understand the power that is in God's word, and you can literally move mountains with it. It's just an amazing tool set, and it's there for everyone. And all you got to do is just believe in Jesus and believe that he is your Lord and Savior and died for your sins. And once you're saved, that book is there for you to grow and learn and do God's work.
So talk to us a little bit about that. I love that. I love what you just said, praying offensively. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Here's the thing. If you go back and look at his word and the scripture that is available to you, God tells us that he doesn't want us to just be passive Christians. He wants us to go out and help his ministry, to help, build his word in the world. And you can go back and look at everything, like Jesus casting out demons, right? How did he do that? Jesus in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights with being tempted by the devil. How did he get him away from us? It's because basically told the devil, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. What did Jesus do? He goes straight to the word. And that's what we're supposed to do, using God's word. It's all in scripture. That ability is out there. You can do a lot of stuff and you may not see it happening around you, but I got to tell you, when you start praying offensively, you're going to feel it, because you will start seeing your life it'll shake things up for sure. You'll notice it. And so I do things also. I don't know if you've done this, Scott, but I actually go in and I will actually, I anoint my house, right? So I go around and I cleanse my house and I put anointing oil on the windows and the doors and I got to tell you, I go back to my life just a couple years ago. I lost two dogs, lost my dad, my grandmother. My marriage started having issues, and it was just total chaos around me. And what I believe happened is the devil thought, I get you, I can get everybody around you. And that's what he did. He just started attacking me from my circle around me. And so everything's getting turned on its head. And so I started owning my house everything stopped. So I'm telling you, there's power in prayer.
There definitely is power in prayer. And I know you were under a lot of attack, and I'm glad to hear that it's settled down, because that was a pretty rough time. And I remember that very well. So you've also been doing a lot of work. You've got a great store. You're doing some really great stuff. You're making things yourself. Tell us a little bit about that, because that's more than just you making a few things for a store. There's a lot of depth and spirituality in that.
It's kind of crazy. I started out not with the intent. I had this little Etsy shop, and that was, I originally hadn't planned on doing radio and podcasts and YouTube and things. And I was just focused on the store, and all of that has changed. I had to change the things that I made, the materials that I made. And so now I really focus more on, I buy olive wood from Bethlehem. And I buy it and do my own engraving and cutting and everything on it, and create, you know, more of an artwork out of it. But I've been focusing on that, and I buy anointing oil from the holy city in, you know, Jerusalem, and I sell that on my site. But then I also started putting together, you know, like my t-shirts that I put out. I do things that have to do with Ephesians or, you know, scripture, like Psalm 144. You know, I try to incorporate the word into all of my products, you know, in some way, shape, or form. And so, but that's the direction I've been going, and it's been going well. I'm enjoying myself. I've been pretty busy, just trying to keep things in stock. But even my soaps, I name my soaps after, you know, something biblical. Like I've got Ezekiel soap, and I do Daniel and Eden and Moses, and of course Moses is the bourbon and honey. But yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm enjoying it.
All right, let's go back a little bit to the current state of this fight, because obviously there's a spiritual fight going on. But in addition to the spiritual fight, we literally have a warring set of factions that is on the plane of humanity that's going on. One dark, and I'll say one kind of light. I don't know how much light we have there, but enough to make it where there's two sides fighting each other. Kind of lay that out from your optics, because this gets into the spa. This gets into what we're really seeing and what's really going on besides just the child sex trafficking.
Yeah. Oh, it certainly does. You know, that's one thing that if you know your Bible, right, that's that God will allow countries to basically dictate their king. And basically you made your bed, you lie in it. Right. And so he stands up kings, he takes them down as well. And so, you know, you look at the world around us and look at our country and the leadership that's in play, and how, you know, for the first time in 70 plus years, we didn't have a national prayer day at the Capitol. You know, this is a guy that closes out a session with our Congress when the foundation of our country is about God. And not one time does he say, God bless America. And that's the type of thing that this evil is starting to, it's festering.
So when it comes to kings, you know, God will allow it. If you look at Daniel 2:21, he says, he changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. And he gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. And so that is exactly, I mean, that's the God of our Bible. That is who, you know, is allowing this stuff to happen. It all happens according to his will. And so now if you look at what's going on with the government that's in place today, you know, we look at things and you think, well, you know what? We've got people being pulled into Guantanamo Bay, right? You can see it happening. And I believe it's white hats, right? So that's the light shining, and we've got some level of accountability, but it's human trafficking. Well, you turn on that same coin and you look at the administration who is actually doing things, and they are bringing people in from the immigration side, which is the dark side of it, right? So you've got that light and dark fighting this battle right before our eyes. And the fact that they're bypassing the system, they're allowing people to come straight into our country, that, you know, it's all about human trafficking. And even what's crazy is I've heard the Border Patrol actually make the comment that they're having to now work with the cartels, the very guys that they used to arrest, because of the administration that's in play is forcing them to do that. And then I've also heard that there's more money in the human trafficking aspect than there are drugs. And so all of the drug running and cartels have shifted their focus from drugs to bringing kids in because it pays more. And so that's what we're seeing. And this battle that's taking shape is it's a spiritual battle. And we've allowed this administration to come in and take place and establish that foothold. And the only way we're going to get out of it is through, you know, prayer and supplication and being good, solid Christians and holding people accountable and holding that line.
You know, one of the things that I struggle with the where we kind of in us getting here. And you and I both follow Q very closely, but one of the things that I think you and I have shared is that this outcome of Q, which was to sit and wait for something to happen. And on one level, we can talk about the need to, you know, to work this thing. The positive side of that was to migrate people over to the spiritual side, but it's also, as they moved into the faith of God, you hit on it earlier, it's almost like this, okay, well, if I'm over here, I'm supposed to do nothing. And that's not what God intended, and I don't know what the intent of the Q movement was, but definitely not a positive outcome of all that information that was put out.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you wholeheartedly. You know, that goes back to the whole putting your faith in man versus God. And I think a lot of people have done that. And it's not a knock on them. It's really that should have been a wake-up call for all of us to really recognize very quickly that, hey, you know what, I was betting on the wrong horse, so to speak, right? And that, you know, this outcome of everybody just expected somebody to go do it for them. And it basically took us everybody off our game. And I think there would have been a different outcome. There's good and bad that came out of that. The fact that it opened our eyes and there was a lot of information that came out about things that were taking place. Had it not been for that movement, I don't think anybody would have even, we wouldn't be where we are today, understanding how much criminal activity is taking place within our own government body. But at the same time, I think it really kept everybody kind of sitting back, waiting for somebody to go do their work for them. And that's, I think, where we lost touch with us as we, the people, and what our country was founded on, and the basis of it being, you know, this is a country founded on the belief of God, you know, and that we've totally lost focus on God. We've lost focus on the family. We've lost focus on really what it means to be an American, what it means to be a great nation. And unfortunately, that's the outcome. And I don't know how you get that genie back in the bottle other than a revival.
Well, that's, there you go. That's kind of, we're excited to have you at Bard's Fest, and that's going to be a great thing. And I know that I want, you know, Patriots are excited to have you there because you're going to be one of the great voices of the new media covering that event. And that is the intent of Bard's Fest, is to literally bring God back to the center of the entire focus of the nation, in a center point of the nation, hopefully the center point of the world. But you're right. We need to get this back into our lives. This, we look at our founding fathers and we see how this country was shaped. And we look at the idea that from the Declaration of Independence forward, we were given inalienable rights from our Creator, from God Himself. And yet here we are today out here with people literally bowing to tyranny, which, as I point out in a number of my shows, it's not just our right. It specifically says it's our duty to remove a government of that nature. And that's the real challenge right now, is how to reinstall that, instill that in the people's hearts, to realize that you don't live with tyranny. We need to get back to the Black Robe Regiment style of pastors and ministers.
No, you're absolutely right. If you build the foundation on God, and that is everything that you do is focused on Him and on His goodness and on His truth, then everything else will fall into play. It's like it's a cord of three strands, right? It's just like going into a marriage. If you don't have the right fundamental foundation in place, you know, you're basically, you're going to fail. And so somewhere we got off the tracks, and I don't know what it was, a series of misfortunate events, but you're right. It's how do we get this back is going to be the million-dollar question, and can we get it back? And I think if there's nothing more, if it doesn't just at least bring people into the fold of you know, the bride of Christ and being saved and understanding what that really means, that we're all inheriting, you know, a kingdom, and that we are part of that inheritance. And so to understand that is, it goes beyond what we have here as a nation, as a country, which is goodness if you can get that back. But even if you can't, at the end of the day, you don't lose hope. Just the fact that, you know, God is a sovereign God. He has a plan for us, and that is, you know, where we really all need to be focused on. And if you just put that foundation right, get everybody back into praying and understanding that God is got to be at the core of everything we do, you can't fail. You can't go wrong.
I think that gets also to the point of fear, which is such a huge motivator in this current climate. And to me, it's an outcome of when you've stripped God from the nation, you've stripped God from our schools, you've stripped God from every single thing, people are left to wander. And as they are wandering about thinking that they can take on the world and that they can choose any sort of destiny they want and do whatever they want without any sort of accountability, then when they're left with this, when they're presented with this plandemic of sorts, they're easily manipulated by fear. And then they are avoiding what I consider to be one of the primary sins in the love of Christ, which is you're having fear when it says specifically, fear not.
Oh yeah, no. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that fear is what is keeping people unfocused on God and focusing on, they're looking for their deliverer in the government. They're looking for somebody to come in and rescue them from the situation, and the government has all the answers. And that's the fear, you know, that's the division or the direction that they're wanting, is because if they can drive that fear into us and cause us to, you know, look for the tangible, you know, from our government to come save us, then, you know, they painted you right where they want you. And that I think is what we're seeing, is that people, they don't understand that they can control this, you know, and they, all it takes is prayer and faith. And they're just going to just think somebody will come save me, you know?
Well, you know, one of the things that I encounter, I don't know about you, but I encounter, I think sometimes people have a hard time understanding that when you've worked in with the special operations community, or you've served in the nation, and then to be able to step back and say, don't trust your government in all things, I think people are sometimes shocked at that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's because we've been conditioned to think that our government is the answer for all things. And so when you tell them that, you know, and then like you said, there's people that serve the country and have a healthy respect for our government. But that's the whole thing. And I think what we talked about, how the Q discovery, so to speak, where it opened our eyes to a lot of things that we thought, well, we didn't know were taking shape. Right. And then you realize that the government that you thought was, that had your back, is actually not for you, but against you. And that, I think, is the key thing. And so even people that have served our country, doesn't mean they don't love our country. Doesn't mean that they wouldn't fight and die for this country. It just, you know, it's just an unfortunate situation. And it just falls right in line with end time prophecy, really. I mean, it tells us how things are going to shake loose, and we can actually see it happening right before our eyes. It's just starting to just slowly, as you peel the onion, you go, oh, you know what? That's exactly what I expected to happen. You know,
you've had some crazy weather down in Texas. And I mean, everything from snowstorms in spring and to recently like major heat waves. Now, I'm not throwing any sort of tin hat stuff here, but this thing all suggests some, and I would say this because you track flights of anybody out there, you track the flights. Are you seeing any indication of like weather manipulation, weather warfare, what we call geoengineering, Congress calls geoengineering?
It's funny you say that, because I've been watching, like when the storms come in, I'm a pretty avid weather person, right? I will watch my apps just as much as I do the flight weather apps, you know, and I've seen some strange things taking shape where it's just, you can't really explain it, you know, with these signals or different types of patterns and things that happen on the radar apps that don't make a lot of sense. But there's not a lot of ways to really describe what is taking shape here. Like, for example, when these patterns come through with that winter storm, it's the coldest winter we've had in over 100 years, and it was prolonged. It got to the point where people's pools were freezing, and it was not in the forecast. Like, people didn't say, they thought, oh, it's going to get cold, but they didn't expect it to get cold for that long. And I would agree that there's somebody seems to be using that as a weapon, in my opinion, because it just seems too, I don't know, it's just too methodical, because it's not just the fact that the weapon is being used or where they're manipulating the weather, but then it's all the other stuff that goes along with it. Like, for example, power grid failures, where, you know, I've been here for 20 years and I've never seen the power grid fail in Texas like it did then. We ran out of water. Go figure that one out, right? It was things that, like, had never really, it was like the perfect storm. And you could almost see it just being planned and put into place where we're going to squeeze it now. It's not just going to be bad weather, but we're going to also make the power grid fail, where your solar energy isn't going to do any good. Your flowing water is going to be gone. It was just so many different factors. And we're seeing it now with the heat, where it seems like there's just this bubble that comes around, and you get high pressure systems, but everything seems to be at a magnitude 10x of what it usually is, you know?
That's absolutely true. And that is a part of this, basically what my perspective is, we're just seeing the unraveling of a system, which I refer to as the 10,000-year-old death cult, that is literally falling apart around the seams. And the question really is where this is going, what's going to come out of this? And this is where I think that we have a great deal of influence on whether we take that path of faith or will we take that path of fear, and really what the outcome will be. Because right now we're a very, very divided culture.
We are. It's actually disheartening when you think about just the fact that how many people just seem to have no hope, just seem to have just this it's almost a volatile reaction to anybody that's trying to be pro-life, pro-choice, pro-government, pro-whatever it may be, right? There's just this volatility between everything. There's a divide that was never there before between race, between anything that you thought. It seems to be an effort to break up any type of thought to the point where you can be part of something bigger. You know what I mean? Where it's these smaller little pockets of, you know, it's everything from LGBT to Black Lives Matter to the Hispanic piece. It's all, there's no longer this unity of where, hey, we're all Americans. We all love each other. We're all, you know, one nation under God. It's now individualized to the point where now they can start tearing you down because they've broken you out to where you, if you have any type of thought, you're going to be considered a radical.
Yeah, that's dead on. In fact, University of California, Berkeley just had their graduation and they broke it into five different graduations, basically by race, except of course, you know, it's Latino, it's something with Asian, they've got Black, and then somewhere in there, they try to bury the idea of the white race, which again is to try to foment this hatred against one class of people, which is their classic divide and conquer strategy that people just can't seem to get in their head that they're being played. You said it earlier, and I'm in full agreement, that there is this crazy time that we are in where people are just willfully accepting this tyranny, this injection, this whole thing without any sort of resistance. That to me stuns me. It's once one person said recently, it's like people are literally in a trance, which is again, kind of back to the spiritual warfare bit, which is where you have to wonder at what level that sort of awakening or consciousness is either being suppressed or it's being shaped. And that, whether that's a technological issue or whether that's a spiritual issue, at the end of the day, it all kind of comes down to the same. The humanity is literally at a dividing point between being imprisoned or being free.
No, you're absolutely right. And it's the tools are all in place now to where they can actually help manipulate your thought. Whereas before it was just, you know, you had a media through a television that would feed you stories and expect you to believe everything that you were being told and shown. And it was just basically one layer of, you know, thought, right? And so today it's coming at you 100 different directions. And then it's also being manipulated through AI, through different algorithms and things of that nature, to where they're trying to make you think a different direction. And it's all based on all the social profiling that they give you. And so they decide they want to change your mood. They start to pump things into your little world, whereas before it was a one data point off of television where if you were at work, you never saw it. And now all day, every day, they're just constantly shaping you. And I think it's just, it's almost like it's one big social experiment. It's kind of scary because there are some people that are more sensitive to it than others. And you'll see, you know, people going crazy because they can't believe their eyes or what they're seeing on social media, or they get sucked into some type of crazy data point and they're forcing people to think certain ways because everybody thinks the masses are thinking that way. So they need to think that way. It's crazy. It really is crazy time.
Well, it is. And I think that's one thing that we can agree that even on Twitter, when people think they're engaging in somebody, half the time they're engaging with a bot. You know, it's like, how'd that go for you? You have a good time talking to a computer? You know, it's insane.
Yeah. Well, and think about it. How many times did you get something from a bot, not knowing it's a bot, not realizing, and it irritated you, where you were like, you know what, and just put you in a funk all day because you were like, man, that person just came at me sideways and I did nothing to even provoke it. It was almost demonic, you know, and that's the environment we're in, and that AI is getting so perfected where they're able to just change swim lanes and put you, you know, and you could see it actually take shape in some of the social media platforms where they accidentally put you into the wrong swim lane. And one minute everybody is swimming in the same direction, and then all of a sudden somebody shakes it loose. And you realize, man, I'm upstream and I'm in the middle of, you know, this is shark infested waters. How did that even happen? Like, how did my entire profile just change? And so just a flip of a switch. It's crazy.
It is. And that's unfortunately, as I've said on my show many times, is people are relying on the avatars and the accounts as if they represent real people, and missing the point that anybody can run that account, including the technologies that are designed to run other accounts to make you believe that they're real. So we get into this duplicity of deception that is so crazy that people just kind of get lost in it. And for myself, and I would probably suggest that you're probably saying a similar thing, is step away, man, disengage and get yourself into the Bible and just read and pay attention to what God's telling you, because that's really the only path that I see here that's relative, that can keep us balanced and keep us strong and prevent us from falling into these traps.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think if you've got God in your life and you've got him in your heart, you're going to have a certain level of discernment that others don't have that aren't doing that. So that's, you're spot on. If you're reading your Bible, you're reading the Word, when you see things going on around you, you're going to be very quickly to be able to pick up on the fact that, that's not necessarily exactly what it is made out to be.
What's your thoughts on those that have taken the injection? And I'll preface this a little bit, because I'm not trying to set this up or lead you into something, but you know, for me, it's a real big issue, because it's an issue, one, of discernment, and it's an issue of making a choice between trusting in God and trusting in fear. And that gets to a real big issue about your relationship with Christ. Not to say that, and not to say that you can't reclaim your relationship with Christ, but man, when we start getting into, especially with people that are proclaiming themselves to be Christians and walking away, and to me, this is literally turning your back on God. What's your thoughts?
Now, I would agree with you. Here's the thing. There's so many data points that are telling people that it's a bad idea. There's no rationale behind it other than the government telling you need to get it. That ought to be just a red flag in and of itself. But I honestly, just from the God perspective, I have a hard time with anybody taking it and getting it, just because of the fact that it is not, we've got so much data that says that they're trying to change your gene pool, or that your DNA is being altered. And we've got so much, I think, more bad data than we have good data. Now, this thing's not even FDA approved. Not that I even remotely trust the FDA, but it's just the fact that there's at least one baseline thing that you would think would be in place before everybody just starts getting injected. And it doesn't make any sense to me. And the fact that people are just blindly going and getting injected with something they have no idea what's in it, this cocktail, it really goes to show you, it really goes back into that whole mark of the beast thing, where how easily people will be controlled into thinking not for themselves, but to just basically go with the masses, those sheep that are just going to just take it and go take the mark without even thinking anything about it, not realizing what the outcome or what the implication is for doing so.
Wow, that's a great way to kind of wrap this up, because you'd hit that dead on, and it's the ease of which people have been manipulated. I don't think if we had told people even 2 years ago, it's like, oh, you're going to see 30, 40, 50% of the population willfully give up their liberties for a point of fear. I don't think I would have believed that. Today, I sit back and kind of still in awe of, like, what just happened here? So what would you say to people at this point in time on kind of the couple of levels? We have a heavy time right now. We have families that are divided. It's hard for people sometimes to keep their motivation up and keep their self focused on where we're going. We've got the ensuing war of the mind to try to get people to break their will to accept the vaccine, this injection bioweapon. You've got this protracted, constantly narrative of, Trump's coming back tomorrow, which, whatever. I mean, I'm just like, if it happens, great. Keep yourself focused on what we have to do, which for me is always God. What would you say to people when you're telling them, what's your message on that?
My message is just stay focused on God, focus on his word. Everything else will go into play. God is a sovereign God. He has a plan for all of us. And that, don't put your faith in man. And you know in your heart what's right. And just follow what's right in your heart and stop letting other people tell you how to think and what to think and when to think.
Well, Monkey, we always close with a prayer. And if it's okay with you, I'm going to do a prayer for us.
Absolutely, brother.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, this blessed time of bringing us together to hear these stories and to share your love and your word through all the things that we do. Lord, we ask that you'll continue to bless the work that's going on here, to share your love, to open hearts and minds to Christ, and to keep us on path here to continue to awaken the many that walk in darkness. Protect us, Lord. Keep us humbled. Keep us under your umbrella of protection with all that has to come, knowing that especially what Monkey's doing here is spreading so much truth with so many, and that obviously raises the eyes of darkness. Let those eyes be shadowed, and let Monkey continue to walk brilliantly forward here, sharing the truth with patriots and extending your kingdom in the many ways that he can, using the gifts and talents that he would have given him for all the many things he's done. May you bless us all and bless patriots in this walk. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen, brother.
Well, it's been a great day having you on. I want to remind everybody, and you are going to be at Bard's Fest, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to it.
That's going to be awesome. So you're going to be one of our great features of alternative media, being there for the 3.5 days. And that's going to be an indoor and outdoor event. So you're going to be moving around. You're going to have indoor facilities, and we'll have a place for you in each of the venues. You're going to be jumping a little bit. We'll keep you busy.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I'm really excited about it. This is actually the one and only invite that I've actually accepted to go out and do something. And that's because one, you're behind it, and two, this is all about God. And so I'm excited to be part of it.
Well, it's going to be awesome. And we really, really thank you for being part of it. And it's going to be an amazing couple of days. I don't know if we've told you, but we're opening the whole event with the blowing of shofars. We're organizing 300 in honor of Gideon. And I've had a potter is making 300 clay pots that we're going to break at the beginning. And we're organizing shofar blowing in. We are expecting as many as 120 countries at the same time.
Oh, that's cool. That is really cool. No, I wasn't aware of that. And that's going to be pretty amazing.
Well, we're hoping to split the skies.
Nice.
We'll see what happens. Well, Monkey, I hope you have a really great day, man. Thank you for your time. And we'll get everybody over to your channel to continue to track over there. And, of course, next week I'm going to be on your show, which I'm looking forward to. So hopefully I have some good news on Bard's Fest, and I want to thank you for that invite as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm looking forward to next week and getting that information out. And so, again, thanks for having me on the show, man. God bless.
God bless, brother. Talk to you soon. Well, Patriots, that was Monkey Works. And we all love Monkey Works. He's got a great show, great program. It's great to talk to somebody else out here in the Patriot movement that has a great show and puts God and Christ first. There just aren't that many, surprisingly. And Monkey's one of them. And he and I have actually done a lot of prayer work. If you remember Bended Knee, when I started that, Monkey was one of the first to jump on and push it with me. And we pushed it hard. And we're going to be reviving a lot of that coming up. So don't worry about that. But that was awesome. He's been a great patriot all the way through this. He's been through some real trials as he's gone through to keep the truth going and put up with a lot of difficult challenges, as always happens when we try to walk that walk with Christ. So, but when you get a chance and you get over to see him in his next show, make sure and send him some love. Tell him we'd love to have him over here. We enjoyed it. And I'm supposed to be over on his show. Like I said, we were supposed to do it this week, but please keep prayers up for Monkey. He's got another dog that is going through some crisis. It's unbelievable. I think this is like number 3, if I'm not mistaken. So please keep prayers up for him. But we were going to do it on this Thursday, the show, and when that came up, I told Danielle just to reschedule with him so that once he's clear of that problem, because that's going to be a hard show. I'll be over there soon enough, and we'll do a good show over there, and we'll want to have everybody over there to give him some support. But anyway, give your prayers up for Monkey, great guy. Patriots, hope you have a very blessed evening. It was good talking to Monkey, and we'll get him back on here. And the best thing is he's going to be one of our main media guys at Bard's Fest. He's going to have a live stream going on. He's going to be busy. And he's going to be running his show live from there on both venues. We also, by the way, are going to have Patriot Transition Voice over there, if you know those two. And Duncan, if you know Duncan, who's our Patriot Transition Voice, he's going to be doing some big video work for us. That's a little bit of a surprise to come, but let me tell you, I talked to him last night, and he's going to be doing some big work. Steve and him are both going to be running the show, but Duncan's got some other surprises that he and I are working up. It's going to be fantastic. So we've got some great stuff coming up, really do. And, of course, you guys know the First Amendment Praetorian with Robert Patrick Lewis. They're going to be there in full force, making sure everybody is safe and secure. I mean, this is like an epic Patriot event, let me tell you. And there's just so many great things. Mike Lindell, as you know, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Christian Northrup, Dr. Carrie Madej, Dr. Larry Pilevsky, Dr. Lee Merritt. We're trying to get Dr. Jim Meehan there. We're going to have Dr. Eric Nipudi there. It's like the top seven doctors in the world. Plus, we've got all sorts of incredible pastors like Pastor Greg Locke, Pastor Tony Wood, Pastor Travis Graham, and we've got others lining up. It's just an amazing lineup. So we're continuing to add speakers and people, and it's going to be something worth remembering. And besides the fact that by the time we get through blowing the shofars, I honestly don't know if there's going to be anything left. I think it'll be like hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes. God will just take care of it all. It'll be great. So come prepared. Bring your emergency supplies with you, too. We might have to start the country over right there from Missouri, but that's okay. Center of the country. We'll start it over. God be with us. So, Patriots, have a very blessed evening. I'll be back in about an hour for Fishers of Bend to close out the night. Until then, or until the next time, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. Keep your prayers up for healing, prayers up for strength, prayers up for clarity. We've got to work hard at healing this nation. It's on us. And we've got to wake the many. That show, Walking Dead, isn't so far from the truth anymore. Just look across the street, see your neighbor that got injected. If they start eating their cat, be worried. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God will always win. So Patriots, have a blessed evening. I'll see you tonight or until the next time. God bless. And out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made. Therefore, they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
old evil that has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.